It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we welcome you into the Virtual Bible Study. This is the Virtual Bible Study for January 20th, 2011. We're glad you're on the other end of the line tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you toll-free at 877-381-4567, over email questions at collegeview.com, and in the chat room tonight with other listeners. You can join in the chat room there. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, great to be with you tonight.
Great to be with you tonight on the Virtual Bible Study. Looking forward to a very interesting discussion.
It is going to be an interesting discussion. We're going to talk about the end of the world, and can we know when the end of the world will be? And about a quarter after the hour, Paul Begley, who is from the Community Gospel Baptist Church in Knox, Indiana, will join us. He's been on the news this week, I believe, CNN, Time News.
Time Magazine.
He believes that the end of the world is coming because of all the animals that have been dying.
Some signs, he says, that are fulfillment of Bible prophecy indicating that the end of the world is near. And so we'll be talking to Paul at about 15 after, but first up on the Virtual Bible Study, we have from Columbus, Ohio, Gunther von Haringa. Gunther, I hope I said that right. Hello, Gunther.
There we go. Gunther, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Right. Gunther, pronounce your name for us so we make sure we get it right.
Gunther von Haringa.
All right, Gunther. Thank you. You're with Bible Ministries International in Columbus, Ohio. We've got some contact information for you up on the screen with your picture and telling who you are and where you're located. You are affiliated with a group of people that has a pretty significant presence on the internet, and connected with a broadcast company in California called Family Radio, and you all have come to the conclusion that Judgment Day is going to be on May 21st of this year, just a few months away. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct.
The fellow who is the president of Family Radio is a man named Harold Camping. And I'm not sure if he is the originator of this conclusion, if he's convinced you all or vice versa, but I think that you are all in agreement that the Bible points to May 21st. And what I'd like to get from you in the few minutes that we have to interview you, Gunther, is walk us through how you get to that conclusion.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I guess it started about 50 years ago. Hardly any known dates for significant events in the Bible were known. The only thing that people had to go by was Usher's calendar, Bishop Usher's calendar. And Mr. Camping did a very intensive study. In fact, he's been studying the Bible very intensely for the last 70 years. But one of the things that he discovered was that Genesis 5 and 11 are calendars. And just as we date things today by Jesus Christ, in Genesis 5 and 11, you have various patriarchs that are named. And those individuals actually were calendar reference patriarchs. Just like we date things by Jesus Christ, they, during their lifetime, were the calendar for that particular day. And as a result of that very intensive study, he realized that the Bible... This is not a man's calendar. This is actually a calendar that the Bible gives, and that information is very significant because we can go all the way back to creation, 11,013 BC. We can date the flood of Noah's day, 4990 BC, and as a result of that, we can also go into the future
Let me stop you just a minute there, Gunther.
Sure.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. You are are saying then that the genealogies in Genesis are not literal, that the people mentioned there are actually sort of reference points in history, but not that's not a literal chronology of the genealogy. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, you have to understand that, and this is what he discovered, was there was a clue phrase, called by his name. And when that phrase was used, there's another phrase, which is begat. The begat can refer to a descendant, maybe quite a bit down the road. But when it has called by his name, then you have an immediate father-son relationship. Unless there's other information, you know, in the text that would indicate that anyway.
Just one quick question. We don't want to stop you too much. But now, so these are milestones. How do you get the time in between them? How do you know how far it is in between the people that are listed?
Well, the way it works is that in the year that one calendar patriarch died, in fact, on the very day that the calendar patriarch died, another calendar patriarch was born. And so it's seamless. And, of course, only God could do that. And that's why it's really astounding when you think about that he's given us this information. That in itself doesn't necessarily take us to May 21st, 2011, because God had hidden that information, May 21st, 2011, for a good reason. It says, and people like to quote this a lot, no man know the day or the hour. And that was true for the duration of the New Testament church age, which lasted from 33 A.D. to 1988.
Let me stop you. Let me stop you.
155 years.
Let me stop you here just for a minute. Now,
sure.
We really wanted to let you get this out, but you're suggesting that, and I read in an article which said that about 35 years ago, God began to open the true believer's understanding of the timeline of history, and it was not until a very few years ago that the accurate knowledge of the entire timeline of the history was revealed to true believers by God from the Bible. Now, how was that revelation process? How did that happen? What is your explanation
well,
of that
like,
statement?
Like I said, Mr. Camping, who is an engineer by trade, and very methodical, and had a great love for the Bible, and just was very interested because nobody knew any dates 50 years ago. And that's one of the reasons why he was prompted to do this kind of study. And in the process, he realized, wait a minute, this is a calendar.
But
and
was
it goes
prompted,
all
was
the way
prompted,
back.
Was he prompted supernaturally, I guess is what I'm asking.
I'm sorry?
Was he prompted to do this supernaturally? Did God speak to him in some direct way?
No. There wasn't a vision or a voice or anything like that.
Okay.
But a tremendous inclination, a tremendous urge. He had the work ethic to do this. Not everybody can do this. Not everyone has, you know, that kind of mind to be able. It's very, very complicated. Very, very complex.
Sounds like it. Now, he went back in time to 11,000. 13 BC for the creation of the world, and then he came to the end of the world at May 20th, 2011.
May 21st.
But how does he get to that point?
Okay, we've been interrupting
well,
you too much.
As I said, that information about May 21st was sealed up in Acts 1:7. It says the disciples asked the Lord, they go, you know, when will be the sign of, that's a different verse, but they're saying, when can we know when you're going to come back? And he says it's not of you to know the times and the seasons. It says that it's not for you, but that word for is really the word of. Basically, that information was sealed up. God told Daniel in the book of Daniel, seal up this information until the time of the end in Daniel 12:4 and Daniel 12:9. And so try as they could, everyone that came up with a date, and we have, you know, significant people, for example, like Martin Luther in the Reformation, or Sir Isaac Newton, or the Westminster Assembly. These are men that all came up with dates, very solid believers, well-meaning believers who love the Lord, who love the Bible, and were very interested in the time of the end. But yet, they were not privy to that information. God had sealed it up. It's always been in the Bible, but God had not opened our understanding until we're very close to the end. As I said, about 1988, information started coming out, and then it's been solidified in the last couple of years because we have proofs.
Well, now, what would be the Bible text that reveal, you said now, the end time was not known now until Mr. Camping discovered it. It was there, but hidden. It became unsealed. His eyes were opened. He was able to discern it. What are the verses? What are the scripture verses that lead to this specific date?
Well, for example, in Acts 1:7, it says that Jesus said nobody could know.
Right.
Okay, it's not of you. That word times and seasons is only used one other place where both words are used together, and that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-5, and it says, it repeats the same sentence, but it says that we will know. There are those that are going to think that Christ is coming as a thief in the night, but there are other people that will know the timing, and he refers to them as being in the light, and so that's very significant. Because the Bible nowhere tells us that we cannot know.
Yeah, Cutler, we would like to know, though, how do we know that it's May 21st?
In other words, if I wanted to do the same calculations that Mr. Camping did,
sure.
What Bible verses would I put in a row that would lead me to this conclusion?
For example, in Genesis, God tells Noah a week before the flood to get all the animals onto the ark. And if we go to 2 Peter 3:8, the context there has to do with the flood of Noah's day. And in that, we find a little formula. It says, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Okay? And that's not an incidental statement. God is giving a very heavy timeline clue there.
So
and he's basically saying, when you apply that to what he said in Genesis, 1 week, 7 days, he's basically saying, in 7,000 years, you have 7,000 years to get into the safety of the ark, and we know the ark represents Christ. The flood of Noah's days was 4990 B.C. If you add 7,000 years and subtract one, you get to May 21st. You get to the year 2011. Now, what about May 21st? When God told Noah the flood would come, it's recorded that it was the 17th day of the second month of Noah's calendar, which is a 30-day calendar. Now, it happens that May 21st, 2011 is the 17th day of the second month, not of Noah's calendar, but of the Jewish calendar, okay, which is a lunar calendar. It goes on 29 and a half days per cycle. And so there you have a magnificent proof that God is giving for his return. And it's very significant that he gives us this information, because without a clear date, the believers could not warn the world of judgment. And every time that God has brought judgment, he's warned the believers first.
Okay.
So that they can warn the world.
Okay. Well, I think I understand how you got that number now, and I appreciate that explanation. We earlier today, we have a considerably large update list that we send out information about our program, Gunther, and earlier today I sent out news that you would be on our program. And real quickly, I've got a couple of questions, and I suspect it's the kind of questions that you get a lot when you specify a date and people are not convinced. Mohan in Chicago, Illinois asks, should people drop out of school since education will be worthless after May 21st? Is it useless to save for retirement? Would you recommend that people quit their jobs, that sort of thing?
Well, no, because Family Radio does not, they're not in the business of telling people, you know, what to do as far as that goes. It's an individual decision that each person has to grapple with themselves if they truly believe this is the case.
Well, maybe more specifically then, are you convinced enough about this that you would make financial and retirement and all such kinds of considerations based upon the certainty in your mind that May 21st is the end?
Oh, speaking personally, yes, absolutely.
Now,
yeah, I'm not making any plans. I don't want to have any money beyond May 21st, 2011.
So is your organization still accepting donations?
Sure, well, of course. Now, that will go on right till May 21st.
Is your budget, do you have your budget planned out so that you have a zero balance on May 21st?
Well, I can't speak for Family Radio, but I know that they are definitely wanting to use all of their funds for this effort.
And what about your personal balance? Will your bank account be empty on May 21st?
That's what I'm definitely doing.
Okay,
sure.
Great. Gunther, we thank you for your explanation of your dating system. We don't agree, and I think I told you that when we set this up, that we've not become convinced of that at all. But we wanted to hear you explain how you come to that conclusion. And I think you've done a good job of that. We appreciate your willingness to be with us on the virtual Bible study tonight. And we thank you very much for joining us from Columbus, Ohio.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. And if anybody wants further information, they can go to familyradio.com.
Yes, familyradio.com. We've also got your website up, bmius.org. So,
yes, sir.
Thank you, Gunther. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir.
All right. We're going to take a break, and then we'll get Paul Begley on the line, and he believes that all the dying animals are another sign that the world is about to come to an end. What do you think about that? Listen to these messages. Get your thoughts together on email in the chat room, and be ready to call 877-381-4567. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study will continue right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello. Hey, Matt. No, I don't have any plans for Friday night. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be able to go with you to watch that movie. Because, Matt, the movie is rated R. Hey, why don't you just come over and hang out at my house Friday night? Great. I'll see you there.
Being pleasing to God means that you may have to be different than the crowd, but don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. It just might find it is easier than what you expect. A message brought to you by College View Church of Christ.
My name is Jack Coleman, a member of the College View Church of Christ. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study, and we hope you'll tell others about the program. We're always open to your feedback concerning topics for discussion and suggestions as how we can make the program more effective. Drop us a line at questions@collegeview.com or call us toll-free at 877-381-4567.
Broadcasting around the world with truth that are out of this world. The virtual Bible study. Take it away, guys.
And we welcome you back to the virtual Bible study tonight. 877-381-4567 is the number to call. Questions@collegeview.com is the email address to use, and you can join in the chat room with other listeners tonight. If you're in the chat room and you don't have a username at the bottom of the window there for the chat room, you can just give yourself a nickname by logging in there, and you don't have to give any other personal information. You can chat with other listeners. We're talking about the end of the world tonight. Are there any signs?
And we've got on the line with us now Paul Begley. Paul, I talked to you yesterday and again today. I think your phone's been ringing off the hook. Because CNN picked up a YouTube video that you had done, and they put it on right on the front page of their website, I think, and you've been getting all kinds of hits on your YouTube channel. You have come to the conclusion that a lot of these animal deaths that have been reported, I think the one that was made the biggest splash in the news was like on New Year's Eve, 5,000 or more birds just fell out of the sky in Beebe, Arkansas. There's been some other events, and you have concluded this is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy indicating end of times. Am I right?
Yeah, or at least it's indicating that we're leading up to a major event at the end of time. It's definitely...
It's a sign. You'd say it's a sign.
Yes, it's definitely biblical signs that is leading us to the next phase, or we're on the brink of another phase of the end of time fulfillment.
Give us what we want to do for a few minutes here, Paul, is give you a chance to kind of give us the gist of your biblical reasoning with the Bible verses that have led you to this conclusion.
Okay.
Now, first of all, you're not affiliated with Family Radio, Harold Camping, or Gunther Von Haringa that we were just interviewing. I don't think that you have landed on the May 21st date, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
no,
all right.
I'm not in that camp, no.
Okay, so I want to make sure
because my prophecy, which is not mine, I call it the Hosea prophecy, it's pointing that we're moving in it's verifying that the world is moving into a final day, or basically the second coming of Christ, where the other fellows, they're basing, I'm not sure what they're basing their May 21st, 2011 end of the world date, or the Mayan calendar at December 21st, 2012. Mine, I don't have a date, because the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of God will come. So what I'm doing is taking a look at the major events that took place New Year's Eve. Starting with New Year's Eve, the 5,000 blackbirds fell out of the sky in Beebe, Arkansas, in a 1 mile radius at 12 minutes to midnight was a significant event. Scientists have yet to tell us their explanation. The government says maybe a few fireworks startled them, they had a heart attack. I would rather lean to the Bible and take the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter. But before I read that for just a second, the next day, 100,000 drumfish washed ashore on the river, the Arkansas River, 100,000 fish during a 20-mile portion of the river,
right.
Not the beginning or the end.
I saw that in the news, too, yeah.
Again, it's a phenomenon. Scientists can't answer the question. 2 days after that, 2 million fish washed ashore at the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. There's been 3,000 blackbirds that fell in Texas. There was another 2,000 in Louisiana. There's been numerous blackbirds falling in groups, as well as fish washing ashore.
Now, the one I think that CNN was reporting, and they connected with your YouTube site, was I think 200 cows in Wisconsin fell dead in a field.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, Okay. We've seen that information in the news. Now, tell us how this connects to Bible prophecy in your mind.
Okay. If you go to Hosea chapter 4, three verses, if I can read those.
Okay.
Just three verses.
Great.
Hosea says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." Or in other words, he has a problem. He's upset because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And because of this, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out. In other words, there's no boundary to what they will do. There's no consciousness, no moral standard. And blood touches blood. The circumstances and the consequences is biblical.
Let me stop you just for a minute before you read the last verse. The blood touches blood. You connected that with the oil spill in the Gulf, the BP oil spill in the Gulf, and the tar balls that washed up on the beaches. Was this part of the prophecy? Maybe blood touches blood, the water turns to blood?
Well, no. The BP oil spill prophecy is a separate prophecy,
okay.
And that's from Revelation chapter 16, verse 3.
Okay, we'll go to that.
Revelation.
Okay, go ahead and finish
this.
We'll
go to that in a minute. But let's finish this. Blood touches blood is the actual death and murder and things that go on during this period of time. What's been going on? We have gang violence in the streets, a lot of violence in a lot of places. We got wars. Okay, so we got the swearing, the lying, the killing, the stealing, and committing adultery. Then here's the key, verse 3. Therefore shall the land mourn. Everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish or waste away. The beasts of the field, which are the cows that fell in Wisconsin, and now there have been 7,000 buffalo fell in Vietnam. The fowls of the heavens, of course, the blackbirds, and yea, the fishes of the sea, or the rivers, or however you want to see that. They're coming up in the Chesapeake Bay, they're in the rivers, they're over by New Zealand. So what I'm saying is in a 14-day period, this prophecy has been fulfilled from New Year's Eve blackbirds in Arkansas to the 100,000 fish in the river in Arkansas to the 14th of January when the 200 and some cows fell over dead. You got to understand, 200 cows just don't fall over dead. And I've heard explanations, well, maybe they froze up. It was 28 degrees that night. And then there's been some guessing that maybe it was an infection or pneumonia or a diarrhea type of disease, infection. If that was the case, you would have one or two cows die with six or seven sick. 200 cows do not, I live in northern Indiana. There's dairy farms all around me. 200 cows do not fall dead overnight. 5,000 blackbirds do not fall from the sky at just before midnight. And you notice what I want to say is God was sending a message by fulfilling the Hosea prophecy that we are getting close to the brink of the beast or at some point the tribulation period. How close, Paul?
I mean, if you were... are we talking weeks, months, years? What do you think?
I think we're still years. I think we're still years. I mean, there's no way to know. All you can do is read Matthew 24 with, there'll be earthquakes in divers places, famines, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. All these are the beginning of sorrows. False prophets will rise. You know, you can read Matthew 24. It's like reading a newspaper.
Yeah, Paul, yeah. I got to stop you before you go on, though, and leave the prophecy of Hosea. It's a prophecy addressed to the children of Israel, not addressed to the children of America. How do you reconcile?
Absolutely.
How do you reconcile that?
Great question. It's a great question. It is addressed to Israel at the time. But at the same time, I was looking at Haley's handbook yesterday and just kind of chuckled because when he addressed Hosea, Haley's handbook, the first three verses of Hosea, he doesn't even mention. He only addressed verse four, the rest of the chapter. And he refers to the idol worship, the idolatry, the spiritual adultery. Matter of fact, Hosea had to marry a prostitute. God forced him to, so that he would know what it feels like to be married to a harlot. And he said, now that you understand that, now you don't understand how I feel. I'm God, and the children of Israel have backslid. And they're married to the whoredoms of idol worship.
Well, that's our understanding. That's our understanding of Hosea is that he was talking to the people of God of that day.
Let me explain. It's just like all of the Bible in the Old Testament, he spoke to the children of Israel at that time, other than the prophecies maybe of Isaiah, the coming of the Lord, you know, a virgin shall conceive and a child shall be born. If you take it and look at all of the stories of the Old Testament for the children of Israel, they were at that day, but we as Christians living in the grace covenant constantly refer back to the Old Testament to get a better understanding of the new. Even Jesus, when he was preaching to the Pharisees and scribes, constantly quoted Old Testament scriptures to prove new covenant faith. Or belief.
Of course, that was the scripture of his day. There wasn't any New Testament scripture, obviously.
No, that's right. But he had to use the Old Testament. He had to, and he constantly referred back to it in establishing the new grace covenant. And he wasn't the only one. Read Apostle Paul's writings, all the epistles, especially the book of Hebrews. He constantly, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is what's called the chapter of faith. That whole chapter is Paul quoting Old Testament scripture and applying to new. You're right. My phone is running for the hook. And these are the exact questions I'm asked by theologians or pastors. Paul, this was God speaking to Hosea. True, but not Hosea only. Just like all the other Old Testament scriptures. It's an example. It's a shadow of things to come. You know that scripture.
Sure. Okay. Real quickly, Paul, because we need to let you go here, but I wanted to ask you about you. I was intrigued by on your YouTube channel. You had a video about the BP oil spill being a fulfillment of things in Revelation 16. Tell us that real quick.
Okay. Yeah. In Revelation 16:3. It says, and I could have to turn over there real quick, but basically it tells you that the water will turn like a dead man's blood.
The Revelation 16, verse 3 says, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea.
Right. And then, so basically, the BPO spill, and you can also read it in Revelation 8. It basically, as it looked in John's day, it looked like a mountain was burning and fell into the sea. And then the water turned red like a dead man's blood. But when the BPO spill happened, from a distance, that deep horizon oil well burning would have looked like a burning mountain from a distance. As it went into the sea, of course, 11 fellows were killed. Then we all know that we had to stand and sit and watch CNN for 150 days or whatever it was with oil spilling. The water literally turned red, and clots of blood floated up on the Pensacola Beach and all along the Gulf Shore. It looked like clots of a dead man's blood. Fish, of course, washed up, pelicans, whales, seals, dolphins. I mean, this has been a mess. And now they tell us that the entire bottom of the sea is completely blanketed with oil. The shrimp, everything. It's going to be years before they can recover, if they ever recover.
Well, okay. Now, let me ask you, though, because you pick up right in the middle of context there in Revelation 16. That's the second angel. The first angel, which it would have already occurred, would be the angel that went and poured his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped its image. When does that happen?
Right. And, of course, in Revelation, it does not always go in chronological order. I mean, the prophecies of Revelation bounce around constantly.
Okay.
You'll get a chapter that'll tell you one thing, and then a few verses later, it's talking about a different time period again.
All right. Well, Paul, okay. We're at time for a break, and we're gonna thank you for joining us on the virtual Bible study. Thank you for your explanation. Again, Anthony, if you can put up his contact info, your YouTube channel is Paul Begley 34, I believe. Am I right?
That's right. Appreciate that.
And you got a lot of videos there. I got to tell you, Paul. Sure, go ahead.
Can I say one last thing? And that is, I want to appreciate you guys having me on. I enjoy this. It's a great broadcast you have here. I like this. I like to say the reason God is speaking to me and about this end time is truly we are getting closer to the events that's going to lead us up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and you and I and all of us can agree that is the event we're all looking for.
We got to be ready. We agree that we need
We've
to be ready.
We've got to be saved.
Real quickly, Paul, you just said something. You just said something. I got to ask you before I let you go. Is God specially speaking to you to reveal these interpretations? Are you getting some direct revelation from God that leads you to these interpretive conclusions from Hosea, for instance?
I think every minister gets some revelation from the Bible through prayer and Bible reading at times. Anytime we preach a sermon, I get revelation. God reveals something to me. It isn't that I'm the only person I revealed it to. I'm sure he's revealing to other people as well.
But is it Is it extra biblical? Is it something extra more than, in other words, Hosea. I never came to your conclusion reading Hosea 4, but did God lead you to that conclusion in an extra biblical sort of way?
Not in an extra biblical, in a biblical way. What he does is God reveals through his word and by his word. Yes, he did reveal to me that these were fulfillment of prophecies leading us to the end, but it isn't extra biblical. It is from the Bible.
Okay, all right.
Every prophecy must be scripturally based, or it's a false prophecy.
Okay, all Paul. Right. Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us from Knox, Indiana. For those who are listening, Knox is up in northwestern Indiana, not too far from Chicago. We appreciate you joining us on the virtual Bible study tonight, Paul.
I appreciate it. My church is Community Gospel Baptist Church in Knox, Indiana, and everyone that's within 100 miles, come on.
Thanks for joining us, Paul. We appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a break, and then we'll take your calls, 877-381-4567, questions@collegeu.com, or you can join in the chat room with other listeners tonight. There's a lot of commenting going on. I think we've got several people who want to talk, so give us a call or send us an email. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study will continue right after this.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. A man begins to neglect his spiritual duties. Though once faithful to attend all the assemblies, now he never does. He has basically severed all ties with the local congregation. He refuses to return calls and is never available to meet with concerned Christians who try to visit with him. Finally, a face-to-face meeting is set up. Why has he followed this course of action? What has happened to cause his dramatic change in conduct? Here's his explanation. He says, I know I'm not living right. I have a problem with sin in my life. I'm tired of living a lie. When I come to church, I feel like a hypocrite. I just can't continue on like this. So I've decided to stop the charade. I won't be coming to church anymore because I don't want to be a hypocrite. What can we say about such a situation? Certainly hypocrisy is an ugly thing. In fact, the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees received Jesus' strongest words of condemnation. It is right, therefore, to rid oneself of hypocrisy. And we definitely ought to be honest with ourselves about such a situation because 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. However, here's where we think the fella in our example, along with many real people, make a very serious mistake. The man assumes that he has only two alternatives. One, continue to act like a hypocrite by remaining in his sin while making a pretense of faithfulness. Or, two, give up his service to God completely. It's a false dilemma. Those are not the only choices. What has been overlooked here is the right choice. Repentance is the answer. Yes, you should stop being a hypocrite, and you can do so by repenting. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
I am Nestor Sanchez from Arica, Chile in South America, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study. And this moment, I invite you to participate in this program too. Gracias.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
We're back on the program tonight, and we welcome you to the virtual Bible study. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the end of the world. We've been talking with Gunter von Heringa and Paul Begley. Gunter is part of a group that believes the end of the world will come on May 21st of this year. You don't have much time to prepare if you believe that. And Paul Begley believes that all the dying animals are signs.
Now, he's not predicting a day.
No, he doesn't.
But he says that that these are signs, fulfillment of biblical prophecy, indicating things leading up to the end.
Right.
We want to analyze both of those fellas and the things that they had to say. We want to get our input concerning their comments, but we've got a phone call. Jacob,
all
let's
right,
catch a phone call real quick.
Steve is in Dallas, Georgia, not Dallas, Texas, Dallas, Georgia. Steve, welcome to the virtual Bible study.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I love what you guys are doing. I wish more churches of Christ were as open as you guys.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Steve, what do you think about what you heard?
Well, I've been studying the return of Christ for 15 years, and I just recently posted my own teachings on the YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know where they come up with this stuff. Christ was using Jerusalem as a key, both in Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3, for its destruction, and in Luke 21:24. Tying that in with the sign of his return. It all had to do with Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple when they lost it in 70 AD and the fact that they're planning to rebuild it very soon.
Well, now, let me make sure I understand you, Steve. Are you saying that there's something about Matthew 24 that applies to today?
Yes, sir.
What part of it does, God? Before you do that, I'm going to take away from you the first 34 verses anyway, because Jesus said in verse 34 of Matthew 24, verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So everything prior to verse 34 has got to be talking about things in that lifetime. I believe, I personally understand them to mean things leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yeah, I know. Church of Christ teaching.
No, that's not Church of Christ teaching. Steve, that's not Church of Christ preaching. No, I got
to
stop you there. I got
to
stop you. Steve. Steve. I got
to
stop you. Steve, wait. I got to stop you and say that's not Church of Christ teaching. Steve.
I don't think you're getting. Steve,
hang on.
I think he can hear you. Hold on.
You got to wait a minute. I got to correct you. I'm not going to let that stand. That is not Church of Christ teaching. Verse 34 of Matthew 24 says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, that's not something that the Church of Christ has come up with. That's what the Bible says.
I know. Okay. Let me deal with that, okay?
Okay.
here's what we need to understand. If you go to the parallel scriptures in Luke, this generation, and in verse 32, and then in verse 23, he says, this people. Now, the word this, in those two instances, most people don't make any differentiation between the two, but those are two different Greek words.
What are the words? What verses now? In Luke 21, right?
In Luke chapter 21, verse 23, he says, upon the land and wrath to this people. He's talking about the contemporaries back in 30 A.D., the Jews in his time.
Okay.
You see that in verse 23.
Right. He says, wrath on this people.
Verse 32, he says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. That's the parallel of what you just spoke of.
Right.
Those are two different Greek words.
Well, they may be different words, but what's the significance of the difference? This generation and this people, what's the difference?
In verse 32, if you go to your Strong's, it's number 3778, Putos. It means that generation. He's speaking of a different generation. And in context, he's talking about the generation that's going to see the sign of his coming. And the sign of his coming is Jerusalem no longer trampled under foot of the Gentiles. When that is fulfilled, that generation would see the Son of Man come back in the sky with power and glory. Look up, for your redemption draweth near. So those two words cannot be used to speak of the contemporaries of his age. He's talking about two different people. He says, this people, in verse 23, and then this generation, which should have been translated that generation, different Greek word.
What about Matthew's account in Matthew 24:34? Is that the same Greek word? I don't know. You'll have to tell me. And when he says
it's number 3778. And it should have been that generation.
Well, now that's two different. Now, that's not the same Greek word you told us was in Luke 21.
Luke 21, 32.
32.
Is the word hutos.
And what number? What's your Strong numbers there?
3778.
Okay, now what is it over
and
here?
And the other number, 5129.
And Matthew 24:34. What's your Strong?
3778 should have been that generation.
It's the same Greek word in Matthew and Luke?
Yes.
All right.
Let's quickly, Steve. You say there's some signs, but you've got to overcome some other passages that tell
one
us.
One sign, not signs plural.
Okay, there's one sign, but you've got to deal with some other passages. Tell us that the day of the Lord can come as a thief in the night, and that day and hour knoweth no man.
Okay, that day and hour knoweth no man, verse 36. Okay, in context, there were three questions put to Jesus in verse 3. The first is, tell us, when will these things be, having to do with the destruction of the temple, not one stone torn upon another. The second question is, what, not when, will be the sign, not time, of your coming? And the third question is, of the end of the age. Now, Jesus answers three questions. Now, in verse 36, verse 35 leads into it. Says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, but of that day and hour. What day and hour? Heaven and earth passing away. That's the day and hour that's in question. And these two verses answers when is the end of the age. Jesus says, I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
Revelation chapter 20, and you can see in context when heaven and earth passes away. Jesus said, I'm not sure of that day and hour.
Okay, real quickly, Steve, we got to get to some other comments, but tell us your conclusion. What do you think? You say you've been studying this for some time, and you're convinced that it is...
15 years.
15 years from what?
That I've been studying it.
You've been studying 15 years. Now, when's it going to happen?
Well,
is it in this generation? Is it in this...
The trumpets, the fall holy days, are going to be fulfilled with the second coming as the spring holy days were. For his first coming, literally on the day. Jesus was a Passover on the day of Passover. He was first fruits on the day of first fruits. Pentecost was on the day of Pentecost. And so the literal fulfillment of the first coming was literally on the spring holy days. The fall holy days, collectively called the ingathering, the feast of ingathering, have to do with the bringing in of the crops. Spiritually, has to do with the second coming and the reaping of the earth.
Well,
the wheat from the tares.
So when's it going to happen?
We don't know what year, but we do know the sign, and the sign was when the Jews took Jerusalem back in the Six-Day War in 1967. Jesus said the generation that saw that sign would not pass away.
How long is a generation?
Man come back.
How long is a generation, Steve?
Well, it's at least 40 years, and that's a million-dollar question.
We're past that already, right?
We passed the 40-year mark in 2007.
Right.
But I believe that we're living on borrowed time. And it could be this year or next year in the fall. The Jewish holy days are September 30th of this year and September 18th of 2012.
Okay.
Those are the two most likely.
Give me those dates again.
Best take on it.
Give me those dates again real quick, Steve.
Jewish holy days for 2011, Rosh Hashanah and trumpets is September 30th. And trumpets is actually a two-day festival now. The second day of the festival is called the Day of the Last Trump.
So it was September.
Ring a bell to those that know what Paul said. And then September the 18th of 2012 is Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, all right.
And Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of three holy days, followed by, you know, trumpets and Sukkoth booths. And the holiest day of all.
Okay. All right, Steve. We've got those dates marked down. I don't agree with you, but you've prompted me to do some additional study on the meaning of those Greek words in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, and we'll do that.
Could you do one thing? If any of your viewers want to check out my teaching, it's on the YouTube, and all I have to do is type in my name, and there's about 8 or 9 of them up there right now.
Okay. Steve, what, and your last name is Gerard.
E-P-H-E-N, Stephen Gerard, J-A-R-R-A-R-D,
okay.
Gerard.
All right, Steve, thanks for calling in tonight.
Thank you. I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thank you. We'll talk to you on the other side of the break. We'll hopefully take your call at 877-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. And we want to hear your thoughts, and no doubt you have some. There's some in the chat room. Why don't you give us a call if you're in the chat room tonight and let us know what you think about what you've heard on the program tonight. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study will continue right after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the Virtual Bible Study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help. Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study and hope to hear from you soon.
Hello, I'm Nick Law from Jennings, Florida. I love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study and hear God's Word taught every Thursday night.
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the Virtual Bible Study. Now, back to the program.
We welcome you back to the program tonight. We've got a lot of ground to cover. There's been a lot of wild stuff you've heard on the program tonight. We want to look at what the Bible tells us about the end of the world. Before we go on, we should mention that we are looking forward to the end of the world. And if it was tomorrow, it would be great.
Yeah, it'd be great. I hope it is tomorrow.
And I hope that these guys are wrong. I hope it's sooner than what they say. But what does the Bible tell us about the end of the world?
Well, first of all, I think Eric in the chat room talked about being frustrated. He says the frustrating thing, it doesn't matter how many times someone makes a date and it doesn't come to pass, these guys don't quit. Somebody just comes out with another theory. And I think that's right. Earlier in the chat room, earlier in the chat room posted over 200 predictions right. of the end. I got a list here of several dozen different predictions.
In fact, Harold Camping, who was associated with the first guest we interviewed tonight, predicted it, I think, September 10th, 1994.
Let me read you how crazy this is. This just, I'm getting a headache. Anthony, I'm getting a headache from trying to
Anthony's
keep up with
it. Anthony's got a headache too, right?
I know. It's been very tough.
Here's what Harold Camping, now he was wrong because he predicted in 1994 and he didn't make it. Now he's redone his prediction to May 21st of this year. And his followers, as one of them we talked to, is selling all of his property and disposing of all his earthly wealth by that date. He said he's doing it.
Yeah.
But here's the kind of stuff that's going on here. Harold Camping, how did he come to his first date, 1994? Well, he says John 21, verses 1 through 14, Jesus, this is after Jesus' resurrection, he went to Galilee and he saw his disciples out fishing, he was on the bank. Jesus tells the disciples who were about 200 cubits out to the Sea of Galilee to throw their net on the right side of the boat. The result was a catch of 153 fish. According to Harold Camping, the scriptures are teaching that the 200 cubits represent about 2,000 years between the first and second comings of Christ. Since Camping states that the most likely date for the birth of Christ is October 4th, 7 BC, when the Jubilee trumpet allegedly sounded, one needs only to add 2,000 years minus 1 year for the zero year, and out pops 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning the 153 fish, Camping points out that the number 153 equals 3 times 3 times 17. The number 3 signifies the purpose of God, whereas the number 17 signifies heaven. Thus, we can learn that the purpose of God is to bring all believers that are caught by the gospel into heaven. I tell you what. Now, Gunther von Haringa said he's an engineer, and that's how he can figure this stuff out. Jacob, you're an engineer. How come you never came up with that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I tell you, it is frustrating to me and mind-boggling how some of this connection is being made. To Steve, who just called from Georgia, he's putting a specific interpretation on a Greek word. He says the scholars who translated the English versions of our Bibles missed it. Luke 21:32, verily I say unto you, that generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. The King James says this generation. He says it should have been that. And he says it's the generation that saw Jerusalem taken in the 67 war. Where is that in the context?
Yeah.
That's not in the context. It doesn't say anything about the Jews retaking Jerusalem in the context.
Yeah.
I tell you, you've got to do a tremendous amount of squeezing and twisting here to get the scriptures to come to the conclusion that these men are getting.
All right. And then we had Paul Begley, who took prophecies, and I listen some to the Family Radio Network, and they're pulling, what they do is they pull various prophecies, as did Paul Begley. They pull just verses out, pull them out of context, and they make them fit current modern-day events. This has been going on, Dad, for years and years. What? People go to the Old Testament, pull an obscure prophecy that in context made sense and was fulfilled, but it fits something in modern-day, and I say, here you go, here's the prophecy.
Well, Hosea's prophecy, which is the one that Paul Begley is resting his conclusions on, very much had to do with prophecies against the children of Israel. It starts out, Hosea 4, verse 1, the text that he's resting on, starts out, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel." It was a prophecy to them. And he spoke of the punishment that was going to be delivered against them for their unfaithfulness. Now, there's got to be some reason to connect that to animal deaths in the year 2011 that I don't see in the text.
Right.
I mean, we certainly believe the Old Testament scriptures. We study them. We learn from them. There's a lot of information there that helps us understand the nature of God and his dealings with people. But there's nothing in that text that would imply things that are happening in our day and time. I don't know why those animals have died. I thought the bird death in BB, Arkansas was particularly unusual. If I was going to speculate, my guess is that the government was doing some kind of goofy testing out there and killed some birds. I don't know. There's no way of proving that. But I don't see anything in the Bible that points to that.
Okay. All right. Well, quickly, Anthony, you had some thoughts as you listened tonight as well.
Yeah, I really just echoing what Greg has said. There's no scriptural, contextual basis for these conclusions that are being drawn. It seems to me it's just sort of plucking things out of context and putting things together. And especially our caller guest who we just spoke with, Stephen, just seemed to, and even the others, they're approaching the Bible as if it's this giant mystery that has to be solved or a puzzle that has to be unlocked. And if you put this verse with that verse, and if you interpret this way, and I just don't see that the Bible asks us to approach it as some sort of conundrum.
All right. Anthony, are you using the Anthony cam tonight?
I have not made use of the Anthony cam
yet. They're wanting that. The listeners want that. Dad, all of this is in the face of what the scriptures tell us about the end of the world, and there is no sign, and we're not going to know.
A couple of plain scriptures. 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. The Lord will come as a thief in the night. How does a thief come?
Yeah, signs. He calls you up,
or he leaves a note on your front door saying, I'm going to be there at 11:37 tomorrow night.
He gives you a math word problem.
He said, I'm coming. If you can solve this algebra
equation. I'll be there at 9 times 4 plus 36
We don't mean to be making light of these fellas, other than just to say it seems incredibly bizarre to some of the things that are trying to be put together. The scripture plainly says he's coming as a thief in the night. Thieves do not give advance warning, and they don't give signs indicating anything. They can't succeed if they give a sign that indicates that they're coming.
Yeah.
And so they're very careful not to let anybody even suspect that they're. And that's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And that's repeated, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 and 3, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, if I knew for sure, here's one of the reasons I think it's probably not specified. If I knew for sure that Jesus was coming on May 21st, 2011, I would do as Gunther von Haringa does. I'd get rid of all my earthly wealth. I'd spend it. I'd waste it. I'd fritter it away. But wouldn't it also be an invitation to just live as wickedly and ungodly as you wanted until the last minute and then get right?
Yeah.
It'd be an invitation to low living.
Yeah.
And the Lord's not going to do that.
Well, certainly some bizarre things that have been said, and we had some emails that we ought to look at. Sherry is in Singapore. Sent in her comments. She'd like to ask this guy who says it's going to be on May 21st, 2010. She wants to know if he'd sell his house to her for $1. As part of the contract, he would be allowed to live in the house until May 22nd. I'm willing to pay the closing cost. I would extend this offer to any of his followers as well. So Sherry would like to make you a deal if you think that you won't need your house after May 21st.
In fairness to Mr. Gunther von Haringa, he said that he is living that way, that he's disposing of his personal wealth by May 21st. So, I mean, if you really believed it, then you'd be a hypocrite not to do that.
You would. All right. Mohan in Chicago, Illinois, wants to know, would people recommend quitting their jobs, dropping out of school? You ask him that question.
From Bill in Texas, he asked, if you really believe it, have you sold all your possessions and given to those who are poor? On the 22nd of May, while sitting at your computer, please email with your reasons why it didn't happen. And you know, that is true. There needs to be accountability here. These people are rock solid certain. Their websites all use the motto, we can know. Now, if it doesn't happen,
let's try and get them on.
Maybe we can get a follow-up interview.
Okay. Kevin in Hot Springs, Arkansas says, the devil has the attention of some when time is spent on trivia like these dates rather than personal repentance and spreading the simple truth of the gospel.
I think that's really right on, Kevin.
All right. And lots of comments that we have missed, but we are out of time tonight. And so We appreciate you for sending those comments in. We'll try and look at those.
And we may need to do some follow-up work on some of the things you said. One of the things that when we have interviews, and we spent 45 minutes of our hour tonight, Jacob, with people on the phone getting their views, that didn't give us a lot of chance to explain what we believe the Bible actually teaches, which is a little bad and kind of frustrating to us. And we may need to do some follow-up along those lines. But we wanted to get these people's views. And I think probably them explaining themselves was probably good enough for a lot of people to say that doesn't make sense.
All right. Okay. Anthony, the chat room wants the Anthony Camp, so you got to pass it by him. I don't know if that was your wife that was saying that or not, but somebody wants the Anthony Camp there. Okay. Anthony, thanks for being behind the controls tonight.
No problem. It's always a pleasure. Definitely an interesting evening tonight, and gives us a lot of food for thought going forward.
So. Well, Anthony actually gave us the lead for Paul Begley.
Yeah, first saw the YouTube of Paul Begley. By the way, we appreciate those fellas' willingness to talk. We always got to make that note. Even when we disagree with people, we are thankful for their willingness to explain what they believe. I wish more people in the religious world were that way. Unfortunately,
they're
not.
And we don't want to belittle anyone, and it's not that's not the purpose of the program. So I hope that we weren't taken that way tonight.
No, but I do want it to be understood that we disagree with the conclusions drawn by Gunther and Paul and Steve. We disagree with their conclusions.
All right, and again, thanks to Anthony for the clue. And our program a couple weeks ago was prompted by a listener. So if you know of someone that we could interview or some topic that would make a good topic of discussion on a future edition of the Virtual Bible Study, please be sure to send it in. Dad, thank you for your good time tonight.
Thank you, Jacob.
And thank you for being on the other end of the line. We hope you benefited from our study and discussion of God's Word. We hope you make plans to be back here next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.